What connects this hotel and this nondescript office building
to an Idaho Air Force base at the center of a political firestorm? Well, it's just one thread of a massive tapestry of corruption where foreign oligarchs have been bribing American officials to put their interests front and center of American foreign policy ahead of our own. Today, I'm investigating how Qatar is trying to buy America, and more importantly, what they're getting in return.
The U.S. president here in Doha, this time including camels and red Cybertrucks.
The emir is a fantastic person. I think I'm going to be his public relations man.
The U.S. has officially accepted this.
Taking jets from Qatar is not the way. Taking real estate deals from Qatar is not the way.
Pete Hegseth has just announced plans to build a Qatari Air Force facility
at the Mountain Home Air Base in Idaho.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first.
This is Park Lane Hotel, and I'm outside because my boss refused to let me film from a room that cost over $700 a night. Park Lane Hotel is owned by the government of Qatar, or Qatar, a tiny Gulf nation with a native population about the size of Cleveland, Ohio.
And they bought it from someone very close to Donald Trump as part of a massive alleged scheme that one day might result in American troops being deployed to defend an authoritarian regime. Let me explain. For the last 8 years, Qatar has been using every tool at its disposal, including real estate and business investments, to influence the US government.
They've spent $250 million on lobbying and public relations firms in the US. They also spend millions of dollars on the top DC think tanks. They spend billions of dollars on US universities.
That's Ben Freeman. He investigates foreign influence and authored a damning report about Qatar just this year. Qatar owns a piece of the Washington Wizards, of X. They own 9.9% of the Empire State Building. They also have a special interest in American news. CNN just built a news hub in Qatar's Media City.
Welcome to...
Dun, 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 dun.
Newsmax was, at one point, extremely critical of Qatar.
Bottom line, this is a terrorist group that cannot be trusted, or at least a terrorist nation.
That is, until a $50 million investment from the Qatari government, after which... Well, here's an employee in their own words. We were not allowed to criticize Qatar. We were told very clearly from the top down, no touching this. Criticism which might be important given the grim state of human rights in the country.
They are most notorious for the rampant abuse and massive number of deaths of migrant workers that come to Qatar.
Qatar also funds Al Jazeera, which does plenty of valuable reporting, but they do seem to have some limitations.
My own personal experience with Al Jazeera goes like this. I wrote reports critical of Saudi Arabia, the UAE. When I did that, Al Jazeera was all too happy to have me on the network. And then I wrote a report on Qatar's influence in America. Crickets. I have not been on the network since.
But you might say some of Qatar's best assets are in real estate. And it's not just the money they're making on their investment. As nice as it might seem, the Park Lane Hotel used to be a financial disaster for its owner, the Witkoff Group, founded by a guy named Steve Witkoff. If he looks familiar, it's because he's been doing a victory lap over his role in the Israel-Palestine ceasefire. He was one of Trump's most important diplomats in the Middle East.
He seems time and again to believe anything and everything he hears from these foreign regimes, many of whom just so happen to be paying him and his family as well.
And so in 2023, the Qatari influence campaign ended up right over there when they bought that building for $623 million from the Witkoff Group. They also invest in the Witkoff Group's luxury Brook Building through the Qatari-affiliated Apollo Group. Now, it might be more accurate to say that Qatar invested in Witkoff through these properties.
In Steve Witkoff, the Qataris found their ultimate champion, somebody who could profit from business deals with them and who could work directly with them on some of the biggest foreign policy issues of today.
And it seems to be paying off. For one, Qatar is getting a training facility on an American Air Force base in Idaho.
So there's a lot of benefits for Qatar here and very little benefits to the U.S., frankly.
There's also Trump's pledge to defend Qatar with the full force of the U.S. military.
And let's be clear about what that means. If Qatar gets attacked, U.S. troops will be asked to fight and possibly die to defend the government of Qatar.
The years of war, weakness, and chaos will be over. I don't have wars.
What about that is not getting involved in foreign wars. It just doesn't make sense.
But Qatar didn't just get the backing of the U.S. military by investing in just one guy. If you follow the money, it goes way beyond one diplomat and reveals how our entire foreign policy is increasingly for sale. Let's start with Pam Bondi, a registered agent for the government of Qatar. She worked at a lobbying firm that was pulling in $115,000 a month from the authoritarian regime.
It was spreading information on behalf of the Qatari government to U.S. officials, helping to facilitate meetings with high-ranking U.S. government officials and high-ranking Qatari government officials.
Now, as Attorney General, Pam Bondi runs the Justice Department that has to sign off on Qatar's $400 million, definitely not a bribe, to Donald Trump.
I don't know why people, they are thinking about it, that this is considered as a bribery.
A plane which Steve Witkoff helped procure.
It was actually Pam Bondi who wrote the memo saying that this was legally permissible.
There is a law that creates some accountability for foreign lobbyists like Pam Bondi. FARA, the Foreign Agents Registration Act.
One of her first days in office as Attorney General, she issues a memo that effectively guts FARA enforcement.
But Bondi is just one investment. Former GOP Congressman Lee Zeldin once criticized foreign influence on American think tanks. He singled out Qatar's influence, specifically. Then, Zeldin gets hired by a firm run by a Qatari royal.
Since then, Lee Zeldin has publicly said nothing critical of the Qatari government.
Zeldin now runs the EPA. Kash Patel was once on the Qatari payroll as a consultant. When he was chosen to run the FBI, he did the respectable thing at first.
He pledges to not be involved, to recuse himself from any issues involving Qatar. Just a month later, we learn that he is then actively working on issues that the FBI is covering related to Qatar.
The FBI, I should note, is responsible for investigating illegal foreign interference. When Ben was researching Qatar, he spoke with people working directly for the Qatari influence campaign, and they were blunt about how they view their relationships with people like Bondi, Patel, and Zeldin.
Qatar views these people as investments. Even if they're not a lobbyist for Qatar today, maybe they can do something useful for Qatar down the line.
Which brings us to this Manhattan building. This is 666 Fifth Avenue, renamed to 660 because, well, the implication, where a bad business investment inadvertently kicked off a bidding war for America's foreign policy in the Middle East. Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, bought in 2007, which I hear was a great year to sink $1.8 billion into real estate.
This was a massive financial albatross for Jared Kushner.
So Kushner and his father approached the Qataris for bailout.
Kushner sought a $500 million loan.
They say thank you, but no thanks. 2 months later,
Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates launched an ongoing political and economic blockade of Qatar.
That blockade wasn't possible without the consent of the Trump administration.
Jared Kushner was reportedly one of the only White House advisors encouraging the hard line.
It was a wake-up call for Qatar. 2 days after the blockade started, Qatar signed a $2.5 million deal with a lobbying firm run by former Attorney General John Ashcroft. A different firm was paid to target 250 influencers. One of those influencers was former Fox News host and current ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, who got an all-expenses-paid trip to Qatar's capital. And of course, they make right with Jared Kushner. In 2019, just months before Kushner's $1.4 billion mortgage was up for payment, a Qatari-backed company paid $1.1 billion upfront for a 99-year lease.
So at the very least, the Qataris seem to have learned their lesson.
The blockade ended in 2021, but the lessons the Qataris learned did not.
What we have seen since has been nothing but a bidding war, both for Kushner in particular, but also for American policy more broadly under the Trump administration.
The Trump Organization, for instance, just inked a billion-dollar deal in the Saudi city of Jeddah for Trump Plaza. The same goes for the United Arab Emirates. Steve Witkoff and his son Zach started a crypto exchange called World Liberty Financial with the Trump family. Recently, the United Arab Emirates spy chief dumped $2 billion into it. And shortly after, he got access to hundreds of thousands of AI chips that Trump's own national security advisors thought he'd turn around and give to China. To do that, Trump fired a national security advisor who pushed for an America First AI chip policy.
It's true that foreign lobbying rules have always been lax. In 2016, the Clinton Foundation was criticized for taking $25 million from Saudi Arabia. Hillary Clinton was even accused by one critic of turning the State Department into her own private hedge fund during her tenure there. The Russians, the Saudis, the Chinese all gave money and got favorable treatment in return. That critic continued, "It's a sad day in America when foreign governments with deep pockets have more influence in our country than our great citizens." That critic was Donald Trump. But fast forward to today, and the Trump administration has become something like the LeBron James of taking money in unethical ways, using a network of businesses and organizations like never before seen.
Whether it's cryptocurrency, whether it's luxury real estate, whether it's new golf courses, you name it. If there is a way for these regimes to line the pockets of the American president, they will find it.
What a lot of people don't realize is that U.S. foreign policy is for sale.
And it's not for America's benefit, and it's not for any American interest. It's solely, it is only for the benefit of Donald Trump and his family members and his inner circles. What we're seeing is American diplomacy be privatized, and we're seeing it take place in real time. We have seen this bidding war emerge from rivals and from dictatorships around the world. You see this pattern play out over and over and over again, these geopolitical rivalries, realizing they have to outbid their rivals for the benefit of themselves and for whatever the president and his family wants. Otherwise, they are not going to succeed geopolitically.
Ultimately, for all the talk the Trump campaign made about Hunter Biden and the Clinton Foundation, they don't seem interested in changing a system that can make them and their friends very rich. If anything, they seem interested in doubling down on it.
What people call conflicts of interest, Steve and I call experience.
And so, for the foreseeable future, it's likely that foreign governments with deep pockets will continue to have more influence in this country than any ordinary American citizen. And when that influence decides where we deploy the U.S. military or who gets U.S. weapons, that's a big deal. Thank you so much for watching. If you have any tips or the inside scoop about anything related to corruption or foreign influence, drop us a line at stories@perfectunion.us. Thanks.